Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me say as you turn there that it is a real joy for me to be back to Parker the Palms. And here it is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. Before I left, I gave Louise an affectionate handshake and a pot of flowers and a not too expensive card and said goodbye. Next Sunday will be our anniversary Sunday, 41 years. So we'll celebrate when we get back. I'm sorry she couldn't be here, but we trust you men have at least said Happy Valentine's Day to your wives. But Happy Valentine's Day to all of you. I said it's a real joy and pleasure for me to be here. When the call came telling about Brother Tom Taylor not being able to fulfill his fulfill his appointment and asking if I could come, I had to rearrange my schedule. And I said to the people back in Richmond, Virginia, my hometown, I was there last Sunday and I was there Wednesday night and I was to be there this Sunday. And one or two asked me, said, well, aren't you going to be here Sunday the 14th? And I said to the people when I came to the podium, no, I got a better offer. And they told me after the meeting and they said, well, we'll keep that in mind when you're scheduled again because we might get a better offer. So you have to be careful. But a week and a half ago, I was subbing for a sub. This week, I'm just subbing. But it is good to be here and to share this week with you. Thank you for your prayers. I have been in prayer for our time together and continue to pray because I do feel the pressure. It's good for me, but I do feel the pressure. And this morning, I want to preach the gospel. When the invitation came for this week, almost immediately, I thought about a gospel message for this morning. I do not speak apologetically in any way. It seems nowadays you have to ask when you go to places, is it all right if I preach the gospel? And it seemed that it came to my mind almost immediately. The message that I would be sharing with you this morning, and so we pray God will use it. I realize this is a Christian community, and I realize that many, if not most, who would be here this morning profess to be saved. I trust that is the case with you, but quite possibly there is one, maybe more, in our midst this morning who is not saved. And even though you are saved, if you feel this message could be used to a loved one or some friend back home, then maybe you could send a tape recording. But we want to consider the Word of God and consider the question, why be saved now? I realize, of course, as many of you do, that the Bible clearly states that no one can come to God at any time. No one can come except God draw him. And one is saved when the Holy Spirit of God deals with the person using the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But quite possibly there is in the auditorium this morning one who is not saved, maybe more. And my dear friend, we are praying especially for you. We've been singing about salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to be able to say, by the grace of God, I am saved. I have a home in heaven, an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's reserved for me, and I as a Christian am kept by the power of God until I get there. I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he tasted death for every man. If one died for all, then we're all dead. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ died on behalf of the human race. It is when we receive Him in that personal way as our Savior, we are able to say, He died instead of me. That is substitution. It is when one makes that personal identification with the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon Him for salvation, that such a one becomes a member of the family of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is waiting. He desires for sinners to call upon Him for salvation. And He said, Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And my unsaved friend, you need to be saved today. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Now, there might be some in this audience, I don't know, who might be thinking, no, a person can't come to Christ at any time because God must speak to such a one. I remember hearing Brother H.D. McKay tell about an experience in West Virginia when he was talking to a man who was raking his lawn at the time, and Brother McKay was talking to him about being saved. And the man said, I will get saved when God speaks to me. And Mr. McKay said to him, well, you stand right where you are, as he reached into his pocket to get his Bible. He said, because God is about to speak to you right now. And as we read and consider the Word of God, God is speaking to you, and you who have never received Christ as Savior need to receive Him today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, we then as workers together with Him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You will see from the marginal rendering here that the Apostle Paul is making reference to the Lord Jesus Christ reading the Old Testament scriptures in his home synagogue at Nazareth, as it is recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. When you go to Luke chapter 4 and compare what you read there with Isaiah chapter 61, you will see when the Lord Jesus Christ gave indication that He wanted to read from the scriptures, the Old Testament, of course, but when He gave indication that He wanted to read, a scroll was given to Him. It was the book of Isaiah. And the Lord Jesus Christ read Isaiah chapter 61. He read verse 1 and part of verse 2. As He was reading the first part of verse 2 of Isaiah 61, He read about the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book. Why did He close the book? Why did He not finish the sentence? He said, as it is recorded in Luke chapter 4, after reading Isaiah 61, verse 1 and part of verse 2, today these things are fulfilled in your ears. Emphasizing that it is the acceptable time of the Lord. That is, it is the time of salvation. It's the day of grace. And He closed the book. Why did He not finish the sentence? Because the rest of the sentence is yet to be experienced in a coming day. But it's not time for that yet. The rest of the sentence goes, and the day of vengeance of our God. But He didn't read that because it's not time for that day. We see in Revelation chapter 5, there is coming that day when all the redeemed will be gathered home, and the question will go out, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Only one is worthy. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that time, the Lord Jesus Christ will open the book and he will finish the sentence. But thank God we're living in this acceptable year of the Lord. We're living in this time period that is the day of salvation. Whosoever will may come. So this is the reference that the Apostle Paul is making back to Luke chapter 4 and on back to Isaiah chapter 61. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And you, my unsaved friend, you who have never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you who have never made that personal identification with Him, trusting Him for salvation, why should you be saved right now? You should be saved today because of impending death. And the older we get, the more we go to hospitals and funeral homes, don't we? And we know if the Lord tarries, for many of us, for all of us, if the Lord tarries, it's just a short period of time before we will go. For it is appointed unto men once to die. You need to be saved today because of impending death. Brother Woodhouse was talking about the olden days and the sawdust trail last week when I was in Richmond. I stayed with my daughter, son-in-law, and granddaughter. And my little granddaughter, this is just one of five now, the little granddaughter is going to a Christian school. And they were all excited telling me about this little booklet that my granddaughter is reading. A Pig with a Wig. Something like that. And so she read this little booklet to me, and I couldn't help but think of me going to Springfield Elementary School in Richmond to my first grade. Mrs. Fowler was my teacher. And I could remember, as she was reading that, I could remember reading, "See Dick Run? Run, Dick, Run. See Jane Jump? Jump, Jane, Jump. Jump, Jump, Jump. See Puff Run? See Spot Run?" They were all, I don't know where they were running to, but how many remember See Puff Jump and, yes. And it seems like just a few years ago. Here I'm in my 60th year. Some of you saying, just a child. Jealousy, jealousy. My friend, you must be saved because of impending death. Time passes so quickly. I remember reading of a man who was in a store, a department store, and he was trying out some pens. And he tried this pen, and then he tried another pen, and each time he wrote Tempest Fugit, Tempest Fugit. And the girl said, "Have you found one you like, Mr. Fugit?" Well, the wording is true. Time flies. Time flies. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamt and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon shall I find in traveling on, time gone. And face eternity begun, time done. My unsaved friend, you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ who died on your behalf. You need to receive Him so that you can say He died in the stead of me and have His death, His burial, His resurrection all imputed over to your account so that you will be accepted by God in the person of His dear Son. You need to receive Christ because of impending death. The psalmist said, we spend our years as a tale that is told. That's Psalm 90 and verse 9. And if you were to look at that verse in your Bible, you would see that the last three little words there, that is told, are in italics, indicating they were not in the original, but supplied for continuity. We spend our years as a tale that is told, or we spend our years as a tale. A tale is a story. And that word in the Hebrew has the meaning of a single thought. Of a single thought. Thought is often used as a symbol of speed. There is nothing quicker than a thought. I was reading some time ago about the ray of light coming from the nearest star, traveling at the rate of 186,324 miles per second. Takes 6.25 years to reach Earth. And yet we can be transported from Earth to heaven in a thought. There's nothing as quick as a thought, unless it would be in the twinkling of an eye. Life is but a thought. My, and I can look back to my first grade, and I can remember even days before that when I was 3. I can go back that far. And some of you older, you can think back to your early days as if they were just a few years ago. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 15 we read, we are strangers before thee and sojourners. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Life is but a pilgrimage. It is but a shadow. It's a short journey. The psalmist said in 39 verse 5, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. And so the psalmist said, the span of life for an individual, just the width of a hand compared to eternity. James put it this way, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Note that vapor coming out of the kettle. That little vapor. You see it and then it's gone. Life is just a vapor compared to eternity. And we don't know when death will come, do we? I would not try to use scare tactics. I respect your intelligence more than that. But have you ever stopped to think that it is just possible that your casket is there in your particular place, wherever it might be, that your casket is there right now? You should be saved today not only because of impending death, but afterwards inescapable judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And if you leave this life without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, one day you will stand before Him at the great white throne judgment. And you will be asked, why didn't you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Ken Lawson would not mind me telling you this, but some time ago I was talking to him back in Greensboro. And I said, Ken, I want to put 3 questions to you. He said, okay. I said, question number 1, do you know how to be saved? He said, I think I do. I said, no, let's be sure about it. So we went over some scripture. I said, now, can you understand this now? Just as you receive your wife, Carol, and she just went to be with the Lord a matter of weeks ago. I said, Ken, just as you received Carol to be your wife, when you received her, you became a husband, right? Yes, he said, yes, that's right. When you received her, you became married. Yes, I understand that. I said, now when you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior, when you by faith receive Him, He's waiting to receive you, when you receive Him, you'll become one with Him. When you receive the Savior, you'll be saved. When you receive Christ, you'll become a Christian. And you need to receive Him. Just call upon Him to be your Savior. Now, question number one, do you know how to be saved? He said, yes, I understand that. Question number two, do you want to be saved? He said, yes, I want to be saved. I said, I'm glad to hear you say that. Now, question number three, when do you want to be saved? He looked out of the window. He looked back at me. He looked down at the floor, and he looked back at me. He looked around at the walls and looked back at me. He said, now, that is the question, isn't it? I said, that is the question. When do you want to be saved? He said, let me think about it. I need to think about it. I said, can you take all the time that you think you have? But while you're thinking, let me impress this upon you. You're not on neutral ground. I said, think of a building that's on fire. There's a person poised in the fourth, fifth story window, whatever it might be. But there's a person poised there in the window. Flames are coming nearer. And the firemen are below with a net. Jump into the net and be saved. Jump! And the person is faced with a decision. Am I going to stay right here and suffer the consequences of the flames? Or am I going to jump into that net? I'm afraid of height. And they're telling me I'll be saved, but I don't know what to do. I said, now, while that person is thinking of the decision that he or she is going to make, they are already in one of them. I said, so can you take all the time that you think you might have? You don't know when death is going to come, but while you're thinking about it, you're already in one of the choices. You're condemned already. Man, trust Christ and be saved. He said, let me think about it. Several weeks later, he went on a business trip, and I received a card from him. I think it was from Hong Kong. He'd gotten saved. He trusted Christ. I said to a man back in Burlington, T.O. Yoder, Toy Yoder. I said to Mr. Yoder some 5, 6 years ago, 6 years I think it was, he was under conviction. He told me this. He said, I just don't feel right. He said, I know I should do something. He said, the way you've been preaching and others been preaching, he said, I'm not saved the way y'all talk about it. I said, well, you need to be saved, Mr. Yoder. And I asked him, I said, when do you think you should be saved? He said, well, it should be soon. I said, I tell you what to do. I said, get saved 6 months from now. And he said something I've never had anyone to ever say before. He said, okay. So it kind of took me back a little bit. I said, now, you are going to be here 6 months from now, aren't you? Oh, he said, I don't know that. I said, oh, yes, that's a problem. Let's see. You might be dead 6 months from now. You receive Christ 3 months from now. Well, he said, I might be dead 3 months from now. I said, oh, yeah, that's right. Let's see. I said, Mr. Yoder, you'd better get saved tomorrow. Well, he said, I'm not sure I'm going to be here tomorrow. I said, yeah, that's right. Well, when do you think you should get saved? He said, I'd better do it right now. Now, you know, sometimes we come away from conversations like that and we think, well, okay, you know, I got the person in a corner and they didn't have anything else to say and they gave all the right answers. Now, is it genuine? It's genuine with him. He's going on well for the Lord. My friend, you need to receive Christ because of impending death. Not only so, you need to be saved now because of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Now, by imminent return, I mean that He can come at any moment. And I'm well aware of the fact that there are those in the Christian community who would disagree with that. They would say, no, it's going to be midway in the tribulation, or it's going to be at the end of the tribulation. I'm going to say I believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to receive Christ as your Savior now because of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's going to be His imminent return that is going to bring the acceptable year of the Lord to a close. And I believe, as I read and consider Scripture, that those who did not take God at His word will be made to believe a lie. My unsaved friend, you don't realize the danger in hearing a message like this and going out of the room without trusting Christ. You don't realize the danger of it. Because a person who listens with any regularity to the Word of God and continues to put Christ off, for whatever reasons, is opening himself or herself up increasingly to believe a lie. When we believe not the record that God has given of His Son, John says we make God a liar. And a person, regardless of how nice their thinking might be and how well their intentions are, when a person continues to put it off, they're building themselves up increasingly to believe a lie. They're opening themselves up for a lie. And I believe when this day of grace, when this church age, when this acceptable year of the Lord comes to a close, those who have heard the gospel message will go into the tribulation period, but they'll not come out of it. They'll be made to believe a lie that they might be damned because they believe not the truth. That's serious. And it's solemn. You need to receive Christ today, not only because of impending death and inescapable judgment, but because of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today because of immediate joy. Being unsaved, you do not have the joy of the Lord. You cannot have it. Just as sin is the original source of guilt and fear, so God Himself is the source of man's joy and happiness. And God made us in His image and after His likeness, which includes that God fashioned us to thrive in this blessed fellowship and love with Himself. And you cannot have fellowship with God in your unsaved condition. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, you cannot understand divine truth. And it's only when you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and He receives you as you receive Him, and the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life, and now you have a new nature, that you can have fellowship with God. When a person is saved, God makes such a one who receives Christ just and holy in His sight. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 1 that God sees us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. When a person receives Christ as Savior, God puts His own righteousness to that person and declares that believer as righteous in Christ. God does that so that God can enjoy us in this fellowship. But God puts within us the Holy Spirit of God so that we will become possessors of this new nature so that we can enjoy Him. And if you're not saved, you cannot have the joy of the Lord. Now, it is true. As a clean, morally upstanding and outstanding person, though unsaved, you can enjoy some, shall I say, peripheral benefits of living a clean life. And even going to church services regularly, hearing the Bible read, and to whatever extent reading it on your own. But in the final analysis, you're like the prodigal in the far country, taken up with only what this world has to offer. And you need to become a member of the family of God. And when you do, you'll have the joy of the Lord, of knowing that you're right with God, knowing that you're accepted in the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you receive Christ, you will have immediate joy. You'll have God's salvation. You'll have forgiveness of all of your sins. You'll have peace with God, which comes because of being righteous in Christ. You'll have security. The Lord Jesus said, I will never cast you out. And you'll have freedom in the Lord. You need to be saved today because of immediate joy. You need to receive Christ today because of the danger of increasing hardness. There is a difference between conviction and conversion. Felix trembled when he listened to Paul preach the word of God. That man was under conviction, but there's a vast difference between conviction and conversion. And maybe some of you are thinking, well, I believe I've been under conviction before. There was a time, maybe several times, when I was so close to responding to what the preacher said. I was going to talk to someone about receiving Christ, about being saved, but no, I put it off. And you've continued to do so. That's a real danger. Because if you don't receive Christ, you face this danger of increasing hardness. Years ago, a corps of civil engineers came to a little town in Pennsylvania. Some of you are from Pennsylvania, I think. Here, how many from Pennsylvania? Oh, my. A corps of engineers came to a little town in Pennsylvania and went up into the mountains and examined the dam that controlled the waters of the stream that flowed down the valley. And the engineer said, the dam is unsafe and people are in danger. You know what the people said? I'm hearing you say it. You can't scare us. The engineers came back in the fall. They examined the dam and they said to the people, we are warning you, the dam is unsafe. And the people responded the same way. The engineers came back in the spring and warned the people again. The people said, believe it or not, we've been hearing that so many times. You can't scare us. 15 days later, after that last report, a boy on a horse in a dead run came down the valley shouting, run for your lives! The dam is gone and the water is coming. And would you believe people laughed? That was the Johnstown flood. 3,700 people died. They were hardened. They'd heard the warning before. My friend, you need to receive Christ because of increasing hardness. And you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ today because of your influence on others. I had a man up in years who got a little excited with me one day when I was talking to him about receiving Christ and not going to hell. He said, listen, preacher, if I want to go to hell, that's my business. As long as I'm not hurting anybody, it's my business. And I got a little excited. I said, Mr. Martin, you're right. You can go to hell if you want to. But it could very well be that the greatest torment of all for you in hell will be to see others whom you influence to be there. Don't think you can live the life that you have lived with all of these years thus far without influencing somebody else. You can go to hell if you want to. But it could very well be that the greatest torment for you will be to see others there whom you influenced. A mother wrote, my influence. A careful woman I ought to be, a little fellow follows me. I dare not go astray for fear he'll go the selfsame way. Not once can I escape his eyes. Whate'er he see me do, he tries. Like me, he says he's going to be. That little chap who follows me, He thinks that I am good and fine, believes in every word of mine. The base in me he must not see, the little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go through summer sun and winter snow, I'm building for the years to be that little chap who follows me. Someone else wrote, touching others. The slightest breeze that ever blew, some slender grass has wavered. The smallest life I ever knew, some other life has flavored. We cannot live our lives alone, for other lives we touch are either strengthened by our own or weakened just as much. Why should you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today? Because he desires that you receive him. He died to save you. And he's waiting for you to call upon him. But you need to receive him because of impending death. Because of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. Because of immediate joy. But because of the danger of increasing hardness and influence on us. Let's turn in our red hymnals to number 364. My friend, we stand ready to be of any help to you, but you need to receive Christ as your Savior today. 364. And let's sing just the third stanza. Choose now, just now, there's a soul at stake. Oh, what will your answer be? 'Tis life or death, and the choice you make is made for eternity. Shall we stand as we sing just the third stanza? Father, we pray for any in our audience who are unsaved. We pray, O God, this will be the day they will call upon Christ to save them. May it be so for his name's sake.